Thank you so much to Tipora. Chaim's in Eretz Yisrael, so thank you, Chaim, from afar. I know what that is. I'm sure he's very sad. You know, he misses you very much, Tipora. So when I'm in Israel, I'm not there with Leah. I miss her. So for sure. He's thinking about you all day. Don't worry. Don't worry. But thank you so much for opening up your home to Torah. And Baruch Hashem, it's getting cold. So coming out to learn takes that much extra amelus, that much extra commitment. So shkoach to everyone here. We're a little bit different schedule. I forgot why we're earlier tonight, but we're earlier tonight.
Okay.
So we're gonna. All good. No problem. No problem. We do all requests. We take all requests here. No problem. So we once discussed this Gemara in the past. There's a Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Pei Tesamid Beis, that we once shared a certain perspective. We'll try and understand a little bit of a different perspective tonight, that I think we could take something really meaningful away from it. We know that the Gemara, Shabbos Pei Tesamid Beis, quotes a pasuk from Yeshayahu, Perek Samach Gimel, in which the Navi sort of like distances himself from Avram and from Yitzchak. And he says that Yitzchak yavinu ata, that Yitzchak is the real Av. Gemara says, what's that talking about? And it tells us that when the Jewish people went into Galus, Hashem went to Avram Avinu and said, defend your children. And Avram said, Yimachu al kedusha shemecha. They should be wiped out for the holiness of your name. They sinned. They deserve to be punished. Yimach al kedusha shemecha. Let them be wiped out for your holy name. So Avram, you know, surprised God. God was a little taken aback. So he goes to Yaakov. Yaakov had tzar gidol banim. Yaakov had many children. So he says to Yaakov Avinu, same thing. Chatu banecha. So Yaakov responds the same way. Yimach al kedusha shemecha. Let them be erased for the holiness of your name, that they were mechal your name, they desecrated your name. And Hashem is shocked. He says, not in the old is there wisdom, not in the young is there any counsel. He says, I guess I'll have to go to Yitzchak. Yitzchak, the most surprising of the avos, to defend. And Yitzchak steps up and he says, Hashem, come on, really? How much did they really sin? How many years could a person sin? Person, David HaMelech tells us, Shivim Shana, so 20 years, you're not Chayv and Onshin until you hit 20. So those 20 years don't count. So you have 50 years. 25, half of those years, they're sleeping. Like, okay, I guess Yitzchak slept a lot. That would be great, right? Can you imagine how much? But okay, so he says 25 years take away for sleep. So we have 25 years left. Now split those in half, because half the time, people are davening. I guess Yitzchak davened a long time. You know, he was avoda. People are eating. People are going to the bathroom. So, you know, how much time do they really have left to sin? 12 and a half years left to sin, Hashem? Hashem, you can't carry 12 and a half years of sin for your children? And if not, we'll split it. Half on me, half on you. And if you can't do that, you say, I have to take it all. God, come on, all right? Yitzchak takes the ace up the sleeve. He says, remember I was a carbon? Remember, I gave up everything for you? So it's a very surprising Gemara. And that's what Yeshayahu says. To Avram, not Avinu Ata, Yaakov, not you. Ki Avinu Ata, Yitzchak, you're our Av. So Reb Zalman Sirotzkin and many, many others asked, this Gemara is like the opposite of what we'd expect. Because what's Avram's Mida? He's Chesed. So, like, where's the Chesed? Avram, what's the chesed? You don't have chesed? Yaakov, what's Yaakov? Yaakov is Teferes, the beauty of the synthesizing the chesed and the gevur of Yitzchak together. Yaakov can't defend. So who's the one that defends? That's Yitzchak. What's Yitzchak? Yitzchak is gevura. Yitzchak is harshness. Gevura is strength, right? What's going on here? So Zalman Sirotzkin says, the truth is this shouldn't surprise us. Because, you know, this is after they leave this world. How did they act in this world? That's so interesting. How did they act in this world? What does Avram do to Yishmael? It's against his better judgment at first, but then Hashem says, Sarah's right, listen to her. Avram sends Yishmael away. Do you think that was easy for Avram Avinu? It was hard, but he learned that harshness that he needed to send away Yishmael, to be able to do that. And then Yaakov Avinu, in his lifetime, yeah, he had issues with children. What does he do with Reuven? Reuven, Pachas Kamayim Atosa, Reuven loses the Bechora. Yaakov punishes him. He says, you act too impetuously. I'm taking it away from you. Shimon and Levi, they act out. Yaakov rips them to pieces, rips them to shreds when he curses them, when he quote-unquote blesses them. Yaakov Avinu also deals with a little bit of harshness. But Yitzchak Avinu, ironically enough, the Av, the Mida of Gevura, of strength, what does he do? He is the one who loves Esav, Kitzayed Befif. Again, it doesn't mean that he didn't love Yaakov, but he loves Esav. And Sir Zalman Saratskin says, we really see that this Gemara is just really playing upon how they acted when they were alive. And Yitzchak Avinu is the one who really defends an Esav. Hayitachen, how could that be? Yitzchak is Gevura, right? Isn't Yitzchak strength? So the question is, what does it mean to be strong? And here, we really have to get to the essence of how the Torah defines Gevura. What is the Torah definition of Gevura? We know the Mishnah Avos. Ezo Gibar, HaKovish as Yitzro, right? A Gibar is the one that's Kovish a Yerti. What does that mean? Rav Blachman, a rabbi of mine, would often say that Gevura means a person who lives their ideals. We're not moved by emotional responses and the like. We think, what's right? What is the most thought out? What is the proper path? What is going to get me to my end result? And that's the way that I'm going to act now. It means, Gevura means sometimes not acting with what we would think of as Gevura, as strength. There's a story told that someone once came to Beis Yisrael of Gered, the Rebbe Yisrael Alter, the Ger Rebbe, took over from his father, the Imre Emes, right? We know that the Imre Emes managed to leave with some of his children before the war, and the Beis Yisrael was his oldest son, took over when his father, the Imre Emes, died. And what happens? That there was a guy who kept coming, you know, would come, a chassid, would come to the Imre Emes, to the Beis Yisrael, and one of the Gabbaim came up and said, Rebbe, you know the guy's a faker, right? You know, he puts on the strimel and long when he comes to see you. He doesn't act that way outside. You should see how he talks, Rebbe. He doesn't dress with chassidish levush. The guy is a faker. Why do you receive him this way? Why do you still accept and let him come in for yechidus, kabbalah's call? So the Beis Yisrael says, you think I don't know who this guy is? You think I don't know who he is? But as long as he feels that when he comes into the Rebbe, he has to dress a certain way, and he has a certain way, that's going to keep him on a certain path. That's going to prevent him from going totally, totally off. Maybe that'll help keep his kids. He's aligned with Ger, even though he acts certain ways. But Lamaisa, where do you send his kids? His kids go to Ger institutions. So you're right, I know the guy isn't really a chassid at heart. And he's not really a chassid in how he acts. He's not even a chassid in how he acts. But Lamaisa, by me accepting him this way, this shows that I can still keep him to a certain degree. It's also a story in one of the yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. Mashgiach saw a certain bacher who wasn't there at afternoon Seder. He was there at night, and he said to the bacher, where were you? He said, oh, Rebbe, I'm sorry, Mashgiach, I wasn't feeling well. Oh, I'm sorry. So you're in your room? He said, no, because maybe the Mashgiach went to his room. No, I went to the Kupar Cholim. He said, you did this afternoon? Yeah, I was there. What time? Because 5 o'clock. The Mashgiach says, oh, okay, Refuah Shleima, next time just tell me, because I was concerned. I was concerned for you. You should feel good. He walks away, and the guys start snickering. Why? Because the Kupat Cholim, right, the clinic, or the health clinic, that was closed at 5 o'clock that day. Tuesdays it's closed at 5 o'clock. Mashgiach doesn't know. And one of the like dorm counselors, one of the older bachrim, saw them snickering. He goes up to Mashgiach. Mashgiach, you don't know the guy just lied to you? He goes, of course I know he lied to me. He goes, I know the Kopar Cholim is closed on Tuesdays at 5 o'clock. He said, but as long as he feels the need to lie to me, and he feels the need to justify himself in front of the Mashgiach, that's also a good sign. That's also a good sign. But I think the greatest story I ever heard along these lines was a story that I read in Rabbi Ari Ben Susan's column in the Mishpacha magazine. You know, he's a mechanech and does therapy work in Cleveland. And he was working with the son of a major mechanech in the Cleveland area. And this guy had gone, the stuff that he had done was like really, really out there. And all the time hiding it from his parents, lying to his parents. And Rabbi Ben Susan told the son, okay, you have to call in your father. You have to be open and honest with your father. And he was getting to be, he writes, he was really nervous about this meeting. He was really nervous about this meeting. Because the father is a major, major chinuch figure in Cleveland. He himself, the father, helps so many people. His own son, is he going to be able to deal with this? Is he going to be able to take this? How's he going to respond? And when Ari Ben Susan tells the son, listen, this is hard. You have to tell your father. And he tells his father. He says the father gives out a cry. And he doesn't know what's about to happen. And the father starts laughing. He's like, I thought the father lost it. The father told the son, you didn't think I knew you were doing all those things? Of course I knew you were going out and doing drugs and going to parties and getting high and doing all these things. But as long as you came home and still put on the dress and still spoke to me and your mother in a certain way, I knew there was still a connection and I was going to let you do it. He says, I'm so happy that you finally feel that you could be open with me, that you could share these things with me. He said, I wish you could have years ago. This went on for years. That the father, he said, do you know how hard it was for me to pretend that I didn't know what you were doing? Do you know how hard it was for me to see you go on the destructive path and not pull you back, because I knew that I wasn't the one that could do that for you, that you wouldn't hear it from me. And Ari Ben Susan said that blew him away. That blew him away. For years, a father just pulled back. The gevura that this father had to create space for the son to do those things, because that's gevura. And that's what some of Farshim say, what Yitzchak was doing. Right? Why did Kitzayid Befiv, Vayav Yitzchak is Esav Kitzayid Befiv? What does that mean? That Esav, Yitzchak loved Esav because Kitzayid Befiv, because Esav fed him? Really? Come on. Really? Someone, like, okay, whatever. I'm not going to start going into examples. I get myself in trouble, right? But, you know, of course, I love my wife, not only because she makes amazing, amazing food. Like, come on, that's ridiculous, right? Like, that's so silly. Really? Okay, I mean, think about it, right? So Lamai, so what does that mean? The way that some of Farshim say, no. Vayev Yitzchak es Esav, Kitzayed Befiv, because Yitzchak captured Esav with his mouth. When he ate from Esav's food, you know what that made Esav feel like? Oh, the Tata's eating from what I made for him. See, the Tata trusts my Shrita. Aside from the Medrash that Yaakov was doing the Shechita the whole time, and it wasn't, okay, but aside from that. But this perspective was, the fact that and that grabbed Esav. You don't think Yaakov Avinu knew Esav was asking questions about taking Meiser from salt. Again, aside from the pshat that he was asking about the salt from the pillar of Lot's wife, whatever. Okay, what does that mean? You don't think Yitzchak Avinu knew? Stupid question, come on. Right, come on, really? That's such a silly question. Taking Meiser from salt? But Yitzchak's like, oh, that's a great child. I don't know, I have to think about it, Esav Taka. I have to look into this. He knew who Esav was. And some say that's even why he wanted to give him the bracha. Because when a person is keeping up a charade, like, he wanted to give him the blessing that let's keep the charade going. And maybe you fake it till you make it. Maybe Esav eventually would come around and give him the bracha. And he makes sure, again, what's the first words of the bracha? He thinks he's giving it to Esav. What is it? Yiten lecha Elokim. Mitala Shemayim Mishmani Haaretz. Rav Dog. Yavdu chamim yishtachavu gvir lachecha yishtachavu lecha b'nei mecha. The troubled son hears that. That's what my father's telling me. God's going to give me these blessings. I'm going to be the leader of the family. Everyone, wow, what a vote of confidence. And the shaila is, why did Rivka say no? That's even a bigger shaila. We're not going to get into that tonight because I only have, you know, I'm joking. No. Don't worry. We have to digest what we have in front of us. But thinking about this yesod of gevura, you know, gevura doesn't mean overpowering. Gevura doesn't mean being right. Gevura means having the ability so often to do what? To pull back. That's what real gevura is. That's what real strength is. You know, tonight in the Mesilas Yesharim, in between Mincha and Ma'ariv, we learn a little piece of Mesilas Yesharim. There's an amazing program, Hachzek, that sends you a free English Hebrew Mesilas Yesharim, the really good art scroll one. If you just learn a little bit of Mesilas Yesharim every day. So that's what we do in between Mincha and Ma'ariv, just during the week. And tonight it's talking about Nikias, cleanliness, and talks about revenge and holding grudges. And the Mesilas Yesharim writes, the Ramchal writes, that the Yetzer Hara uses all of its tools to get us to hold on to bad blood, to grudges, and to hold on, to want to take revenge at people. Why is that? Because the Yetzer Hara wants us to self-destruct. And we know, in positive psychology, the Rebbe's of positive psychology and Penn and other places say, what's one of the most important ingredients to being a happy person? It's one of the most important ingredients to being a happy person. You know what it is? The ability to let go. Because otherwise, what stays with you? That poison stays with you, right? And if it's just there, it's just not healthy. That's how it leads to self-destruction. So someone once asked Shlomo Carlbach, and I say this all the time. It's just such an amazing term. Someone says, so I don't understand. It's natural to want to hurt the person that hurt you, right? It's natural to hold on to a grudge. How do I let go? So Shlomo said, tell me, if I gave you $1,000, would you let go? Mm-hmm. It depends what they did. $10,000. Mm-hmm. $100,000 I give you. Would you let it go? Right? Come on, it would have to be really horrendous. $1,000,000, would you let it go? And Shlomo Carlbach said, you don't think a mitzvah of working on your midos like that is worth $1,000,000? He says, do you know what that's worth for you? In this world and the next world. In this world and the next world. And that's why Yitzchak is the Av that defends the Jewish people. That's why the Gemara in Shabbos says, not Avram, not Yaakov, Yitzchak. The one that had the gevur, the one that had the son who was a Rasha and was able to hold back from just decimating him, just letting loose on him and exploding on him, to give Yitzchak that chance. Again, Rivka knew, for what Rivka understood, that there was no chance. That's how many understood, that Rivka was able to perceive. Why? Because where did Rivka grow up? With a Lavan and her father, Besuel. She grew up amongst Rishon. She saw, unfortunately, into the heart of darkness that was Esav. And she understood that he wasn't part of the equation. And again, there are many different ways to understand it, but that's how some say. But this idea of in our lives, to think, where do we have to exercise that gevura with that ability to pull back? Again, gevura doesn't mean, what does it mean to be strong? What does it mean to be strong? Yitzchak Avinu, what is real strength? As Rav Lachman says, to live your ideals. That's what it means to be strong. However you're going to live your ideals, that is Gevura. And that is Yitzchak Avinu. And it explains a lot of the parsha. It explains a lot of the back and forth that's going on of why Yitzchak is so committed to an Esav. And why, you know, the matamim, what really? Think about how it made Esav feel. You know, Esav wasn't the yeshiva guy. Esav was hunting and cooking and, that's what I love. Give it to me. Then I can bless you when you take care of me like that. You know, think of the brilliant, brilliant parenting of Yitzchak Avinu. We don't think of it that way. And again, the Shaila then is, what did Rivka see that made her counteract what Esav was, what Yitzchak was doing? Which is another thing that we've discussed in Netziv in the past and other times. So that's one yesod from the Parsha that you really have to think about. I think you really have to digest. It's not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing to digest, to ask ourselves, where is the Gevura? And in many ways, you know, we said this minion during the week, last week, that's why Yitzchak's tefillah is mincha. And that's why the Gemara in Bracha says that the tefillah is the most powerful of the mincha, the most powerful of the tefillahs. Why? It's the hardest one to daven. It's the one that's, okay, shacharis, you get up a little earlier, maybe there's a big period of time in the winter. How long time do you have to daven mincha? You have about 4 hours. That's it. In the summer, you have like 8 hours to daven mincha. In the winter, that's it. The gevura, to pull back, to be able to make time, that's what the Gemara says. Eliyahu Navi was only answered lifnozarev, when he davened by mincha time. That's what the Gemara in Brachos tells us. So this is Yitzchak Avinu with the power of gevura. I didn't mean that. I meant the power of gevura. That wasn't a pun. The power of strength. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, you know, what real gevura is and what you can accomplish with it. So that's one yesod from the parsha. But now I'm just getting into the Esav. Getting into Esav, there's such a very interesting diuk, a very interesting idea that tells us what was the real issue with Esav. So, Vayigdulu hana'arim, vayesav ish yodeatzayid ish sadeh, v'yakov ish tam, yoshev ohalim. So, in some of the svarim, it brings down that if you notice in this pasuk, perek chafei pasuk chavzayim, that the young men grew, and Esav was a man who knew hunting, a man of the field. Yaakov was a wholesome man who sat in the tents. So there's an interesting diak, a very simple diak, that relates to another pasuk we'll soon get to, that Esav, it says ish twice, by Yaakov it says ish once. And why is that? Because Esav was this duplicitous person. Esav was a person who was a fractured personality. And when a personality is fractured, when a person doesn't have their one ideal, the essence that holds them together, you have no idea how far the person fractures and how far the person goes. And so the idea, the ish-ish, is showing that he wasn't whole as a person. And when you're not whole as a person, you don't know what's going to happen. But Yaakov is an ishtam. Yaakov, Dafka, the Torah says he's a whole person. And why is that? Why is Yaakov that ishtam? Because he's Yoshev Oalim. Because he specifically is sitting in the tent. And what does that mean? Of course, we know the allusion that all the Midrashim say is the Oal Shel Torah. And what does that mean? What made Yaakov the ishtam? What made him the ishtam was he was Yoshev Oal. Meaning, the fact that Yaakov Avinu had Torah to go to, that was the value, that was the arbiter, ultimately. Is this going to help my relationship with Hashem? Is this going to hurt my relationship with Hashem? That is it. What is it? Titer Emesli Yaakov, the truth of Yaakov Avinu. That's how he saw things. Because there was one thing that everything revolved around. And it's so interesting because this helps us understand the Gemara. In later in the Parsha, when Hashem appears to Yitzchak, he says, "V'herbeisi azaracha kechoch ve'ashamayim." Perek Chavav Pasuk Dalet 26:7. Right? V'herbeisi azar. What? What? Dalet. What did I say? Seven. I don't know why I said seven. Okay, I don't know what's going on with me. What, it's 8:17? 8:18. Oh, so 7 when I was looking. Okay, 7 minutes left. Okay, we're going. Don't worry. We're gonna be good. No. It's gonna be good. So Lamaisa, so the Gemara Megillah tells us, we know Gemara Megillah Tezayin Amud Aleph 16a tells us that we know some places Jews are compared to stars, some places that Jews are compared to sand, the sand by the sea. So the Gemara says when the Jews are up, that's when they're like stars. When the Jews are in a good place, they're like stars. When they're down, that's when they're like the sand. What does that mean? Right? So the Rabbi Yisrael Chartkever, the Chusigin Elena, one of the great, great rabbis pre-war in Europe, Rabbi Yisrael Chartkever, he was really one of the great Torah leaders. So he said, you know, I would think just the opposite, because we know what's the key of the Jewish people. It's Achdus, right? The stars, they're so many different. They're so disparate. And the sand, it all gets clumped together. But he said the emes is, it's v'nahapachu, it's just the opposite. He said, the sand, they're really all different grains of sand. Yes, water clumps them together. But there's nothing that really binds them. You pick them up like that, they just easily fall apart. Each grain is separate. But he says, when you look at the constellations, when you look at the stars in the skies, when you look at the planets, what happens with all the planets? Everything what? Everything's in an orbit. Everything is revolving in the same axis. Certainly in our galaxy, all around the suns. This is what you see. So they look different. Achdus doesn't mean we all have to be the same. Achdus doesn't mean that we all have to be exactly connected in some mood. No. Chaverim is a lashon chibur. We're connected, of course. But it just means, the Chartkever says, that we revolve around the same sun. The same value is what we share. And ultimately, you know, my Rebbe Rav Aaron Luchtenstein Zatzal always said that the Klal Yisrael was camped around Har Sinai. They all had a little bit of a different view of the mountain. They had a little different view of Matan Torah. But they were all still able to be around together, even when we're not exactly the same. The Chartkever said, that's what it means. When the Jewish people are up, they're like the stars. We don't have to be exactly alike. But we're all around. Listen, it comes down to Torah. We might have different views, but are we all saying we want what the best is for Hashem? It says when the Jews are down, what is it? They're all sand. They're all clumping together, but nothing really binds them. Everyone still is ultimately separate, that you can separate them from one another. And this is something that also, you know, Yaakov Avinu was zocheh to. We know some say that Esav and Yaakov were supposed to be Yisachar and Zevulun. That's what it was supposed to be. But it didn't play out that way. Why? Again, those were other shroom that we've given. But that was something that Yaakov Avinu was able to give over to his sons. You don't have to be all alike. But we're all, and that's Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. When the brothers tell Yaakov, before he dies, we're all here. We're all about Hashem Echad. We get it. Even though we're very, very different. And that's something also that I think that as we head into Hanukkah, something to think about. Because Hanukkah was one of the greatest times in Jewish history, but it was also a very dark time in Jewish history. And we point this out often, right? The question, the answer we normally get, we're given, why is there no Seudah on Hanukkah, right? Why is there no Seudah? Why is there no obligation to have a meal on Hanukkah like there's an obligation to have a meal on Purim? So what's the classic answer? The classic answer is that on Purim, they tried to kill us physically. So we celebrate physically. We have an obligation to celebrate physically. On Hanukkah, they didn't try to kill us physically, just spiritually. So therefore, we don't have to celebrate in a physical sense. So that's a beautiful answer. I'm not taking away, but there's also another answer. You know what the other answer is?
It's a civil war.
That in Hanukkah, Jews were killing Jews. It wasn't just Seleucid Greeks, Syrian Greeks that we were fighting. Who was the first person killed during the Hasmonean Revolt? It was a Jew who took a pig, who was going to offer it up as a carbon, and Mattathiah took a sword and killed the Jew. That's what happened. We don't often talk about these things. But this is something that Hanukkah, of course, a great time of celebration, was also a time of incredible, incredible pain. Some say that the light of Chanukah, of course, is the light of Ikvus of the Mashiach. We spoke about it. And it's good. Some say there are going to be challenges with that also at the end of days. You have to be very, very careful. And that's something that we have to be nizer, and something that we have to remember, I think, a lesson from the duplicitous and the fractured personality that was in Esav, the wholesomeness of a Yaakov, and recognizing what keeps us in orbit together. What is the commonality that we have that ultimately, we're all about? To be Mar B'Kvot Shemayim Ba'olam. To make Hashem's name great in this world. That's really what we're about. Might not see it exactly all the same ways, but that's the goal. And the way we can accomplish that is by exercising a lot of Gevurah. By exercising a lot of Gevurah. Okay, Shkoich, thank you so much, Tzipora. And thank you, everyone, for coming out on such a cold night. And 8:24, let the record stay.